It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Our next guest is using her skills as a scientist and communicator to spur people to action on the issue of climate change. Joylette Portlock writes and stars in a series of web shorts called Don't Just Sit There, Do Something. Here's a brief snippet from her episode on air quality and climate.
Short-lived climate pollutants are projected to cause nearly half of the planet's warming over the next 30 to 40 years. The short-lived climate pollutants that are the biggest problem for health are black carbon, a type of soot, ozone, a major part of smog. Is it me, or does black carbon sound like one of those action movies from the 70s? Black carbon pollution is tiny, tiny soot particles. Would you say that black carbon is particularly bad? You might say that, yes. These particles only stay in the air for days or weeks, but they trap heat well, and they can become lodged deep in your lungs, contributing to heart disease and making problems like asthma worse.
Joylette Portlock, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hello, thank you for having me.
So where did the idea for Don't Just Sit There, Do Something come from?
Great question. So, well, I've been talking to people about climate change through professional, you know, for professional reasons for several years now. And this is sort of the distilled effort to take everything I've learned about communicating science and about communicating climate specifically and put it into a way to really make this information accessible. So the idea for the show came about a couple of years ago, about a year and a half ago, when there were a lot of climate things happening, like a lot of climate discoveries, and we didn't have
climate
such as the discovery of vast methane plumes in the Arctic, which methane is a huge contributor to climate change, and that hadn't been seen before. There was an international climate conference going on. The Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change had just published a report linking extreme or increase in heat to extreme weather events, you know, and none of this was getting a lot of play in the major media. And so at that point, it was kind of like, well, you know, what can we do to bridge this gap? And that's where I really come from in this as a scientist by training is trying to bridge the gap between what the scientists know and are talking about amongst themselves and what the public really needs to know to have an informed debate.
So here you are, you're a PhD, you've got all this expertise, and you're trying to figure out how to explain some of this science to people, but do so in a way that they're not going to, that the eyes aren't going to glaze over and they're going to, yeah, you know, suddenly... I'm sitting in a Tibetan monastery, not really paying attention to what you're saying. So how did you come up with the concept for the because we watched a good chunk of your work yesterday. It's quite entertaining, quite funny.
Thank you. Thank you very much. We certainly try. The idea for this really, one of our basic concepts really is that you shouldn't have to be a climate scientist to understand the basics about climate change. You know, and there's so this is really an effort to, you know, make this material in accessible for people. So much of the time we wind up, and having, you know, been in the environmental community for some time, I mean, so much of the time there's a very big tendency to take the serious and very big issues, you know, and it's easy to have it be very scary and sad, frankly. And so what our series does is, you know, try to bring that back. Let's put it in perspective. Like, these are serious issues, and we don't downplay that. But at the same time, we know it's very important to make it, you know, accessible, even fun, and something that people can talk about and actually act on. Because as serious as the issues are, we're not going to make progress on them until we're just willing to meet the challenge and, you know, roll up our sleeves and take action.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. Our guest, Joylette Portlock, who writes and stars in a series of web shorts about climate change called Don't Just Sit There, Do Something. So what's involved in a typical episode of the series?
Great question. So in a typical episode, and you've heard a snippet of one of our episodes, actually, I play several characters in the series. There's a scientist character, a newscaster character, and, you know, just a regular person character asking the questions that, you know, regular people hopefully would, you know, be asking a lot of the time. So in that way, we can get the science in, so that it's always about each episode is a short nugget of digestible information. So we explain the science piece by piece. We incorporate news about climate change because it's still happening wherever we can. We have, you know, the humor element, and every episode we also include actions that people can do, both at a household kind of consumer level action, as well as plug into the larger advocacy actions that are out there.
Climate change is an important issue for everyone, but why do you think it's especially important, or why do you say it's especially important to women?
Well, certainly, you know, as a woman, as a mom, you know, I'm not saying that, you know, women have the monopoly on the nurturing aspects or, you know, empathy, but certainly traditionally that is where I sort of come to it from, a place of, you know, really looking around and saying, well, you know, this is future generations. These are our kids. These are our grandkids. You know, I won't see the year 2100, but the world that I want my kids to be living in, hopefully in 2100, is not the world that we're creating, you know? And I think that extends to all people who have a sense of empathy, who, you know, no one sort of thinks, oh yeah, let's just take all the resources we were given and squander them and ruin the world for everybody that comes after. I mean, I think it's from a place of nurturing and empathy, which is, you know, something that I think women have traditionally had.
What are the most common misconceptions among global warming skeptics? Because, you know, the skeptics are out there.
Yes, that's true. We actually have a whole episode about that, episode 5, where we tackled the 5 biggest climate myths. But, you know, I would say that what we're seeing right now is, if you look at surveys that have been done, surveys of the scientists, the climate researchers publishing in the field, show that 97% of climate scientists publishing are in agreement that climate change is real and that people, it's man-made, that people are causing it. We're the largest contributor by far. And then if you look at public opinion polls, you see that 70%, just from an opinion poll last fall, 70% of people believe they need more information before making up their minds about climate change. So what we see, you know, isn't so much it's a misperception of what the scientists are saying, and what we want to do is sort of bridge that gap between the scientists and what they know. Again, I'm, you know,
you're saying that the scientists are in agreement, the people who are the quote-unquote experts on this subject are in agreement about what is causing global warming, that it is, in fact, man-made, but that there's a disconnect with the general public, which is skeptical or just not sure at this point.
That is exactly what I'm saying. We could talk for longer than we have, I'm sure, about the reasons why, but there are the message... The skeptical message up till now has been very loud by comparison to how much we're seeing the actual science.
Why do you suppose that is?
I think it's for a lot of reasons. One main one is that the science is really complicated. You know, it is hard to get across all of climate science in a short soundbite. And I think that it does tend to be kind of sad and scary, you know, so people don't want to focus on it if they feel that they can't do anything. And I think there are powerful interests who really want to keep it that way, you know. So
such as who are these who are these powerful interests?
Well, and we do talk about this in some of our episodes, not directly, but the fossil fuel industry certainly has a lot of money put into lobbying hundreds of millions of dollars in the 2012 election cycle to make this so. They've even gone on record saying, okay, yeah, we are we're making great headway in turning this into a political liability to want to talk about this or take effective action for politicians. So we have to counteract that, you know, what we have is information, is the actual science. And I think once people, you know, sort of understand that there is this consensus, that there is this agreement, that the science is real, that climate change is not going away. Once people understand that, I think there is a lot of bravery and do the right thing spirit that people have. Like, hey, you know, we should probably be as I said before, meeting this challenge in a more effective way, and that can push back.
So you're trying to get the information out there. It's just a matter of putting it in some kind of a Flintstone vitamin form that people want to digest. Your goal is to spur people to action. So do you think people have more power to help the environment as collective citizens or as individual consumers?
I think they have power in both ways. I think that as collective citizens is going to be, you know, what sort of puts us over the line eventually as far as actually changing our policy, you know, and getting more protective, more climate protective policy in place. But I think that, you know, that I don't want to understate the role that consumers really do have, you know, that individuals do have in changing the way that they live their lives. And it's not always even in huge ways. I mean, that's one of the things we do in our series. We're like, here's the easy way that's even free. That
drive
just
an
makes
electric car,
better.
Recycle.
But an electric car, you know, it even costs money. Let's just improve the gas mileage on your own car. You know, check your tire pressure. Don't carry around 300 pounds of stuff in your trunk. You know, that kind of stuff. It can really sort of reshape, you know, your relationship with the climate, you know, problems that we have.
Joylette Portlock writes and stars in a series of web shorts called Don't Just Sit There, Do Something, Climate Change Web Shorts, in which she offers tips and also encouragement to spur people into action to do something about climate change. And you wanted to add one more thing.
The website is dosomethingaboutclimate.com. All our videos are on YouTube. Please check it out.
We have a link to your webisodes on our website at wesa.fm. I'm going to go empty everything that I don't need out of my trunk. Joylette Portlock, thank you for joining us on Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you very much for having me.